A very good morning on behalf of Teacher 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Menachas Pehe, Menachas 85a, pagination is 169. The Mishnah on the previous daf, actually, the Perek began with the Mishnah even one page further, told us that Aforayim is a location that was particularly good for producing good grain that would make good flour. The Gemara on the top of our page plays on that topic regarding location, and indeed, there are different location considerations. The Gemara on Amud Beis of Ardaf is going to mention Sodos Hamudramos Shebe'eretz Yisrael, southern fields of Eretz Yisrael, the overall location, where the field is located, what kind of sunlight it gets, is a significant factor. And Aforayim was known to have good grain. In fact, it was so well known that this was the expression that the Egyptian sorcerers used to Moshe when Moshe started making miracles in Mitzrayim in anticipation of the redemption. Their expression was, Teven ata machnes la'aforayim. You're bringing grain to the place Aforayim, meaning you're bringing sorcery to a place that already has really good sorcery. We have no use for you. We don't need your stuff. We already have plenty. Again, an analogy, grain to Aforayim, as in Moshe's sorcery being brought in to the Egyptians' sorcery. And Moshe's, of course, going to respond that what he has is not sorcery. What he has is the hand of Hashem. Omaluhu, he responds, Amri Inshi, people say, Lemosa Yarka Yarka Shkol, in a place that has vegetables, you bring your vegetables, because they know vegetables and they'll know your good quality. And here also wasn't good quality, it was a totally different product. They would be able to recognize Etzba Elokim Hi, that it's the hand of Hashem, and that it's indeed not sorcery. Whereas if Moshe would have brought such miracles to other places where they're just a bunch of amateurs or less, they wouldn't even understand the debate that was going on and the display, ososumofsim, that Moshe was doing in the name of Hashem. So again, Aforayim as a location of significance for good grain. Our overall topic, once again, is the grain that's going to ideally be used for the menachos, the flour offerings in the Beis HaMikdash. Take a look at the Mishnah 7 lines down, and we're going to here talk about the actual field, regardless of its location, where it's located in the world, but the actual field. Ein mevi'in, you don't bring the grain, the flour that was made from it, lo mibeis hazavalim, not from a field that had to be fertilized, v'lo mibeis hashlochim, and not from a field that has to be irrigated, v'lo mibeis ha'ilon, and not from grain that was grown amidst trees, v'mhevi kosher, and if you did, it's kosher. And the reason for all of these three things that are listed here is that the grain is not hardy and well-developed and nurtured and high quality. The Beis HaElon, it's in the middle of the trees. It's not getting the right nutrients, etc. The irrigation, if it needs irrigation, you have to make sure to get it just the right irrigation. It doesn't produce the choicest grain. And moving to the first case, mibes hazvalim, something that had to have fertilizer done. It wasn't intrinsically fertile ground. So Rashi and the Ksav Yad, where the Rashi lines get wide, count down four lines at the end of a line. Shema lo nizdavlo kol tzarka. Maybe it wasn't properly fertilized. It takes effort. It's not just there as fertile soil. And then Rashi says something interesting. Lishna acharina. Intriguing topic. Shahazevel mavish mekalkel tam haperos. When you have to use fertilizer, it ruins, it's spoiling on the taste of the produce. We know, for example, by bees, so not all honey is created equal. It depends where the bees grazed, so to speak, to get pollen, nectar, produce the honey, and those tastes, overtones, can be detected in the honey. Clover, blueberry, avocado. It's recognized that there are many, many, tens, hundreds of different flavored honeys. So over here, what we're saying is, in the second explanation of Rashi, that the fertilizer, if it needed fertilizer, has an impact on the produce, and it's not as good. The Mishnah then continues with the procedure, how to get the best grain that will produce the best flour. And it describes how you would plow, and that makes the ground good. It gets rid of the thorns, the weeds, and then you would plow again and plant, etc. The final words of the Mishnah are, v'im hisliya psula. If after all that, you produced your grain, you have your flour, if it got wormy, so then that's pasul. So again, we have the overall location, for example, Aforayim, or the Sados Mudramos in Eretz Yisrael, the southern fields. Then you have the type of field. It shouldn't be something that needs fertilizer or irrigated. And those are ways to get the best. And then there's the procedure when you plow. And then what happens if it goes bad? Let's turn the page and we see an interesting question. About a quarter of the way down, a fifth of the way down, v'im hisliya psula in the beginning of a line. If it got wormy, then it's invalid. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned. Solas she'esliya ruba psula. If most of the flour in the sack or the batch got wormy, then it's all puzzle. Even if you were able to get all the worms out, once it's part of that batch, it's puzzle, invalid. V'chitim she'esliya ruban psulos. And likewise, if the grains got wormy, that's also, if most of them are wormy, then it's pasul, it's going to be invalid. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiya asked, Barov chita or barov sa'ah? In the case of grain kernels, are we dealing with the entire batch when we say majority, just like we did by flour? Because indeed, flour is lach balach, it's fluid, so to speak. And if most of it is wormy, it's over for the whole batch. In a chita, though, maybe you can go to each kernel, each one is independent, and you could remove the bad kernels, and maybe it means berov chita, most of the kernel has been affected, or does it mean most of the batch, and you're paskening on the whole batch, and the Gemara says, teku, let the question stand. Another question, ba'i Rava. Rava asked, hikdish and ma'usha yilke. If a person made such flour or wheat kadosh, he dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash for a karbon, is he in violation of Baal Mum? Pasuk says, lo sakrivu, you're not allowed to bring a blemished animal, but maybe that's limited to animals. Ein Baal Mum ela bebehema, possibly. Maybe it's only by animals that you have Baal Mum. Or could you apply the concept of Baal Mum to grain, to flour? It's blemished, it's wormy. And therefore, even the act of making it kadosh would be a violation, teku, and that question as well is left to stand. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.